It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
I'm Stacey Marie Ishmael, managing editor of crypto for Bloomberg News. And this is Bloomberg Crypto, a daily Bloomberg iHeart podcast. It's Tuesday, June 21st. In this episode, we're going to talk about crypto addiction. There are rehab centers for people seeking treatment for addictions to drugs and alcohol, to gambling, and more recently, to online experiences like gaming. Now, these centers are seeing an uptake in people looking for help controlling their crypto trading. Today, I'm joined by two Bloomberg reporters, Claire Ballantyne and Charlie Wells. They've both written about how some crypto traders and equity traders have experienced the spiral from temptation to desperation. Delighted to be joined today by not one but two Bloomberg reporters. We have Charlie Wells joining us from the London office, but he's actually in New York this week, and Claire Ballantyne. Hello to you both.
Hello.
Hello.
So we're going to talk about a slightly heavier subject than we may necessarily have discussed in other episodes, you know, where we've talked about regulation or what's happening in Congress. But today we're going to talk a little bit more about crypto addiction. And Charlie, you wrote this story. I remember when you first emailed about it, about folks who are checking themselves into rehab because they are finding it hard to control their, you know, crypto trading activities. Can you talk a little bit more about that and what you found in the story?
Yeah. So I think, you know, this really kind of started with wondering, you know, can you actually be addicted to cryptocurrency? Because we hear people use the word addiction very loosely.
Very loosely.
And it's a serious topic, right? Like, this addictions can ruin people's lives. And we wanted to know, is crypto addiction real? Are some of these rehab centers that have been popping up on both sides of the Atlantic and many parts of the world, are they legitimate? Are they serving some sort of purpose? And so what we did was we looked at some of these treatment centers. There's one in Switzerland where a colleague went. They charge $9,000 a week to treat the ultra wealthy who may have cryptocurrency addictions. There's one in Scotland, there's one in Maryland, there's a number of online providers. Now, I think the hard thing for the story, for reporting the story, was finding people who say they are addicted to talk to us, because it's hard, it's embarrassing, it's hard, it's a serious part of life. And I think one of the striking things is I found somebody in a corner of Reddit called Buttcoin. And it is a place where people gather to talk trash about Bitcoin. And one of the people on there said, hey, look, I was addicted to Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. Coming here, talking trash about it was really helpful. Thank you. And so that was one pathway that I went to find somebody. But it was an interesting journey.
It does indeed sound like an interesting journey. One of my questions about that is, when that person says, hey, I was addicted to this, what do they mean? What does that manifest as?
That's a really good question. And for him, it was interrupting his regular life. He was trading when he got up in the morning instead of playing with his new child. He is a religious person. He wasn't praying as much as he wanted to. And so it seemed like he just couldn't control his behavior. And wanted that to change. Now, he didn't go to a rehab center, but a lot of the kind of tendencies that he talked about in the behaviors aligned with what some of our experts that we spoke with said could potentially be cryptocurrency addiction.
Because this is where I think it's important for us to just pause and kind of reflect on what you said at the top, which is people throw the word addiction around a lot, right? They you know, I'm addicted to coffee. No, you like coffee. It's not the same. And so when somebody is getting to the point where they're either self-diagnosing or being diagnosed as having cryptocurrency addiction, it sounds like you're saying that some of these behaviors include things that really interrupt their normal daily activities in ways that are having harmful and potentially long-term consequences.
Yes, that's exactly right. So, you know, one of the things about cryptocurrency is it is legitimate, right? There are people who make legitimate money working incredibly hard, incredibly long hours doing this. And what was striking to me was one therapist said, you know, look, there are so many, you know, millions of people who trade crypto. If crypto were as addictive as some might suggest, there would be millions of people who are addicted, right? So it's a small number of people. And I do think, as you say, it's when it's interrupting your daily activities in ways that you don't want. What was really striking was speaking with another person being treated for this in a Scottish clinic. And he said that he had this realization at one point when he was taking kind of excessive risk in markets, was that he would start with, you know, a small amount of money, bring it up to maybe $100,000 worth of whatever asset that was, and then he'd lose it again. And he kind of had this realization that was like, oh, maybe I don't actually want the money. Maybe I'm just doing this for the thrill.
Well, that sounds like gambling.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that brings us to a really interesting point, which is that, you know, there is not an official designation in the Bible of psychiatry, the DSM-5. Yes, there's not an official cryptocurrency addiction. But what gambling professors and researchers said is that this really aligns with gambling disorder. And gambling disorder was recently added to this Bible of psychiatry.
Controversial Bible of psychiatry.
Yes, controversial Bible of psychiatry. And it kind of reflects this moment where we're at, where behavioral addictions are getting more attention by the psychiatric community.
Claire, I want to ask you a little bit about gambling and finance, because you have covered meme stocks and you have covered the ways in which, for a moment, perhaps less so right now, trading these things seemed to take over people's lives. They definitely took over the media conversation, but there were lots of people, you know, also on Reddit, not necessarily in Bitcoin, but certain other subreddits, where people were saying, you know, they're not sleeping, they're staring at screens constantly, they feel like they're taking excessive risk. Are you finding any similarities in these, I suppose, novel behavioral expressions of perhaps older forms of, you know, dependencies that we develop as people?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think so much of it has to do with this current moment that we're in, both with cryptocurrencies gaining popularity, partially fueled by when people were bored during the pandemic. And I think a lot of this originated with that. When people were locked down, this was a way to have community, to do something with your time besides sitting and being bored at home.
And miserable.
Yes. And so, you know, anything that could give people a thrill. And then, you know, so maybe this started out with stock trading on Robinhood, which also has come under some scrutiny for its addictive qualities. And then, at least in my own reporting, people that I've talked to move from stock trading to crypto. And so that just sort of accelerates this pathway. But I think there is, you know, there's excitement around it. There's a community around it. And at least for a bit there, you know, now that we've seen both crypto and stocks tumble, it's changed a little bit. But it's everywhere. I mean, I take the subway every day and you can't do that without seeing a crypto ad. You know, thinking about like the Super Bowl, almost every ad had something to do with crypto. So it's an easy environment, I think, for people to stumble into it and for it to be something that really appeals to them.
And what I think is so interesting about that, and I'm glad we have managed to sort of join up the gambling and the marketing conversation, because, you know, gambling is a relatively heavily regulated activity. In a lot of places, your ability to willfully lose money is pretty constrained. You know, there are rules that vary by state. And some of the more recent conversation has been around, okay, hang on, you tell me I can only gamble if I go to a casino, but now I can do sports betting, or I can do way more things on my phone where it's really easy and some of the friction of having to go to a physical place are removed. And you know, so folks are asking about the wisdom, as it were, of making it easier to do different kinds of betting and of gambling. But almost none of that conversation has been applied to crypto yet, or even to stock trading. Have either of you seen anything or seen this conversation evolving to include crypto and stock trading in that sense?
I think what I've seen mostly is there's this question of how much should it be regulated? Because, mm-hmm. and it comes up in gambling as well, you know, there's the concepts of free will and people should, you know,
do what you want.
Yeah, exactly. There's, you know, your agency and you should be allowed to lose money if you want to with gambling. And I do feel like that's moving over to stock trading and crypto. And mm-hmm. I remember, you know, when retail investors were first getting into the market in 2020, there are these conversations of, you know, they're losing money. Like, when does the SEC need to step in?
Right.
But then some traders themselves were like, don't tell me what to do. If
right.
I want to lose money, I can.
I'll lose my money.
So it's this interesting, you know, sort of discussion about how much do regulatory agencies both need to step in
right.
and should.
Thank you both. We'll be right back.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
How were you able to find reputable people treating crypto rehab in this environment?
So, good question, because I think that we really tried to bring a sense of skepticism mm-hmm. to this. You know, the clinics that we spoke with do have, you know, licensed therapists who are employed, who use methods that might be similar to gambling addiction, to, you know, more well-known addictions. And so I think that was one way that we felt that, you know, we were speaking with people who are at least somewhat legitimate. I think that when you look at some of the excesses around some of the treatment, so that particular very expensive treatment center, yes,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, I think there was a whole wellness element to this. And you can see how it could go, you could go maybe quite far. And, you know, I don't think we would want any person who was struggling with this to think, okay, I need to shell out thousands of dollars to go somewhere. The main character in the story quit cold turkey. So I think that being cautious here is really important.
Claire, any thoughts on, in addition to us all being cautious in what is a very complicated topic, you know, you mentioned this idea of free will and of agency. And, you know, Charlie, you didn't use this word, but there's a lot of libertarians in crypto, right? There are a lot of people who are like, do not tell me what to do in any part of my life. And especially you, the government sovereign state that I don't trust to start with, don't tell me how to deal with my money. Do you think that, or my non-fiat, do you think that has in any way complicated what could otherwise be fruitful conversations for people who might be struggling or for people who might have questions?
I think definitely. And I think that, you know, even this discussion around what is addiction can be one of the reasons why people who need help maybe don't get help. They don't realize they have an addiction, or they, you know, they think they don't even know about options for treatment. And I do think that there are lots of people out there who think they should be able to do whatever they want, and that if they lose money, it's on them. There shouldn't be rules around it. And I think that it's all kind of connected, right? It's our current political atmosphere, and it's, you know, how much government overstep should there be? How much regulation should there be? And so it's, you know, and there are lots of different kinds of people that trade crypto as a thing. I mean, there's definitely a stereotype of, you know, a certain kind of crypto trader, but there's many of them. And so I think that it varies based on the person, why they're investing, what their mindset is around it. But I do think for many of them, you know, they would be appalled at the idea of people taking away their right to trade this as much as they want.
You know, Charlie, when you were doing reporting, did you find that the folks that you were talking to, or the folks who identify themselves, or what the experts were saying, were there similarities about them? Were they already in treatment for other things? Was this more of a manifestation of other stuff that was going on? Or were there people who were like, I'm totally fine everywhere else, it's just crypto?
That really kind of hits the nail on the head here, which was both of the people that we quote in the story said they kind of had, you know, compulsive personalities. They knew themselves. And I thought that self-knowledge was really refreshing to have people say, look, I know that I am quite compulsive. One of the men that I spoke with in the UK had drug and alcohol problems. One of the therapists at a treatment center said that often, you know, people don't come to his center for crypto addiction. They come because they're struggling with other addictions, maybe substances. And then as they're unpacking what might be going on, you see other addictions as well. And so that was the case with this man.
One of the other questions that I found when I was reading your piece is like, how would you know? Right? And do the signs manifest pretty much the same as if you are getting diagnosed as somebody who may have an addiction to gambling or to other substances? In talking to those experts and those therapists, was there anything they said that was sort of unique to the manifestation of people who have, you know, come out as addicted to crypto? Or was it more like, it looks like these other things we see?
Yeah, so I think what was striking to me here was, it's not just about losing a lot of money or earning a lot of money. And so some of these addicts said, oh, yeah, sure, it's thrilling to win a lot, but it's also really thrilling to lose a lot. And it's that, like, whoa, like, I've lost control. Mm-hmm. That, you know, seems to trigger some reward mechanisms in the brain. How do you know, though? I mean, I think if you are being hurt, I think financially, that would probably be a sign. I think one of the things that we've been touching on here is just this culture of not wanting to be told
right.
that you might have a problem. But I think if people who you do trust who are telling you that, you know, this could be a problem, maybe that there's an indication there to listen. But it all seemed to be unique. I think there wasn't necessarily one sign like, bang, you're addicted to crypto.
You know, one of the things that has happened to retail investors, in addition to equities going down, is there were a lot of people who were very exposed to Luna and Terra. And those folks were sharing some very sad stories on, you know, on Reddit, on Twitter, and other forums about what they had lost. And I did notice there was something about the severity, not just of the collapse, but of the reaction, that it was one of the first times that I really saw mental health and people asking, like, are you okay? Not just, is your wallet okay? Is your account okay? Like, are you the person behind this pseudonym doing okay? And, you know, there were definitely signs that this had been pre-existing, like, fairly close-knit community. But it's heartening that at least in some of the darker times that folks are experiencing in markets, that there is community out there for them.
I think that's a really good point. And I think it's important for us to remember, you know, there's real people behind these trades. And we live in an atomized media environment where some people might be getting good information, some people might not be, and some people are making choices based on the best information that they have. And that may have been to do these investments that people in their peer groups were telling them to do because it seemed great. And they've lost a lot of money, right? Mm-hmm. And that has a serious impact on mental health. And I think it's one thing to say, oh, wow, crypto addiction, ha, how funny is that? But it's serious. And so I'm glad we're having this conversation.
And I think, too, you know, in a down market, kind of like what we're starting to experience, and, you know, it may get worse, there is more a sense of empathy that comes out for people. And so, you know, the difference between someone losing a lot of money on big tech stocks, which is more mainstream, versus crypto, it suddenly becomes kind of similar. And it's all like, we all kind of lost money. We're sort of in this together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes groupthink can be good. All right. Well, thank you both for joining me. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can find more of Charlie's reporting and of Claire's reporting on the Bloomberg Terminal on Bloomberg.com. And you can find them both on Twitter. Charlie is at Charlie W. Wells. And Claire is at CFB_18. On the next episode of Bloomberg Crypto, do you have any beach vacation plans coming up? What if you could combine sun, sea, sand, surf, and Bitcoin? This is the latest pitch from El Salvador. Known for his beautiful coastline, El Salvador has recently tried to become a destination for the Bitcoin faithful. There's even a Bitcoin beach on offer. Tomorrow, I sit down with reporter Mike McDonald to hear more about the how and why El Salvador's millennial president is such a Bitcoin believer. I'm Stacey Marie Ishmael, and this is Bloomberg Crypto, a daily podcast from Bloomberg and iHeartRadio. For more shows from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Email your questions, comments, or suggestions for the show to crypto@bloomberg.net. And you'll find us on Twitter at crypto. The supervising producer of this episode is Vicky Vergolina. Associate producer is Zainab Siddiqui. Desta Wonderad is our engineer. Original music by Leo Sidran. Bloomberg's head of podcasts is Francesca Levy.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
What could you do if your data was working for you and not against you? With Bloomberg delivering enterprise data directly to your systems, you get easy access to the details you want, optimized for higher-level analysis, and financial data experts committed to helping you maximize your every move. Our data is made for more, so you can show the world what you're made of. Visit Bloomberg.com/enterprise data to learn more.